Jesus, whenever he rose from the dead, spent the next 40 days before his return to the throne training the disciples for the harvest. He opened up their minds and opened up their hearts on his purpose for coming to the Lord, coming to the earth. He came to save, seek and save that which was lost. It's harvest time. Planting and watering and enjoying and basking, all of those things are very important and will continue on into eternity. This eternal life that we have will always worship the Son. Yes. Always and forever. The intimacy we feel now is just a sliver of what we'll know then.
Thank you, Lord.
We'll forever be with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We'll forever be with Him. This feeling that we feel when we worship, this awe-inspired worship that we have will continue on. It just pales in significance to the multitudes of angels and a multitude of people that will worship before the throne. The awesomeness of it staggers the thoughts of our lives. It staggers us to think someday we're going to be without veneer, without seeing through a glass darkly. One day we'll stand before Him and all His glory will be ours. All His glory. We won't have to look away. We won't have to think about, what's He look like? What's the throne room look like? We're going to be there.
Yeah.
Because of His resurrection, He's won for us eternity.
Yes.
We said in the first service, it only happened once. He only raised from the dead one time. Yeah. We celebrate it every year for now 22,000 plus years. But it only happened once. He only rose from the dead once. But He has a desire to share that resurrection power with the world. It's harvest time. It's time to roll up your sleeves and work. Harvest time's never a time for rest. Harvest time's a time for work. You work with the sweat of your brow. You start before the sun rises and you stay till late. I've seen people with combines and all kinds of farm equipment late, showing lights on the field, trying to get the harvest in because there's a time. There's a time where the harvest will not be taken in because of rain or because of cold or because of darkness or because of any other thing. It's harvest time.
Amen.
Violence, murder, drugs, divorce, hate, all these things have become all too familiar with us. It's all around us, but it's harvest time. Inside of every person, there's a knowledge that we are wrong and are not living like we should. It shows in different ways with different people, but you can see it on those that don't know Christ yet. They are driven by careers and hobbies and relationships. Or worse, they're driven by addictions. But something is missing in their lives, and it's the harvest. They're in the field. They've not known their purpose yet. The purpose of the crop is not to be in the field. The purpose of the crop is to be in my belly. The purpose of the crop is to feed. The purpose of the harvest is to bring those who don't know Christ to Him. God made provision for all of this by sending Jesus Christ as a man. He was the only one that could take care of sin. He came to take our place for the cost of sin and change our destination. Jesus Christ, our Lord. The first hurdle is to believe that God is, that He is a creator. He's the creator God. All things were created for Him and by Him and for His pleasure. And in Him all things consist, the Word of God says. He's the creator. Without Him nothing was created. And to deny that is to deny the existence, the very existence of God. He doesn't exist if He didn't create. The very nature of God is to create. To believe there's not a creator is to believe that you could take a dictionary and tear it apart and throw it up in the air and it would come down as a dictionary again. He made all things. There are very few rules when we're in the family of God, but we forget that there are rules to get in the family of God. It's not just anybody can come in without obeying the steps to get there. And we must remind ourselves of that, because our love exceeds our humility and our the rules that God set forth, that we need to remember when we talk to people that if they don't know God, if they haven't come to Christ, they are in danger. The first hurdle, of course, to believe is God is. He is the Creator. He wants to communicate with His creation. And He's chosen to do that through you and I. His perfection makes it impossible to do so without benefit of salvation. The Bible is the expression of God and His commands, desires, love, and existence. After we get through the first hurdle of knowing God is, God created for us a rule book, a guidebook, a living word. Come on, somebody. Amen. This is it. From beginning to end, He set forth. And we must read it. We must get it in our spirit. It's harvest time. But we don't know how to run the harvesters. We think somebody else is going to do it. Remember, my brother and I bought a car together. When I first started to drive, we bought a Chevy Nova, 1965 Chevy Nova. How many of you remember that? Old people, you remember that. Had a little six-banger in it. And so he decided he's going to change the plugs and points one day. So he went down to the store, and down to wherever he got the points and plugs. He just went out, lifted the hood, and pulled the distributor cap off and all the plugs, just the plug wires, and just pulled them out. Changed the plugs and put the plug wires where he thought they would go. Had difficulty getting the car started. Got it started. We were all in the car, and he pulled out in front of a truck. I just wasn't about here because that thing was misfiring. And then he talked to somebody, and they said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "It's not running right." He said, "I pulled the wires out." "Well, there's a firing order, pal. You got to put them in back in right." And so all that afternoon, the next day, we tried to straighten out the mess. But if we don't read the Word of God, if we don't know what the Word of God expects from us, it's harvest time. But if we don't know how to run the harvester, it's going to spoil in the field. It's harvest time, and we must know the Bible was written over 1,500 years with 40 authors. Think about that. 1,189 chapters with 31,473 verses that are in perfect harmony. It was written by people who never met one another, but described the same things about the one true God. So God is not only the Creator, He has made a plan to bring us into relationship once again. This is called His plan of redemption. Because He created us with a free will, He presents Himself to us, and we either say yes or no. The door in heaven is open, but there's a pathway to get there. We make the mistake of either making it so difficult to find that people don't want it, or we just let anybody think they're going to come. But He draws every one of us in many ways. He draws us to Himself. The first thing that we need to realize is that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. I talk to people, I say, "How long have you been a Christian?" They say, "My whole life." "What do you mean your whole life?" "Well, I've been saved ever since I can remember. I was born saved." You ever hear anybody say that? "I mean, I was just born saved. I've always been saved." No, there was a point in time where you got saved. Salvation isn't something like grandma's doily passed down to you. Salvation is something that needs to be spoken by the mouth. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So, number one, if we're going to get this harvest, we need to know that there's a certain thing about the harvest. All the harvest needs brought in, but it needs brought in correctly. All have sinned. Everyone in this room is in need of redemption. We are all born into the same world. No one is better, no one worse. Sin is sin. Because of the fall, we have a sin nature. We need to believe in Jesus Christ. We need to remember, we forget, there's very few rules to stay in the kingdom. It's by grace you have been saved and not by works, lest any man should boast, Scripture says. So if we're saved today, God deals with us as children. But as believers, as non-believers, there's a certain thing that we need to do. Belief in Christ causes us to be justified. But they have to believe in Jesus. The word is the legal term, which means that we are acquitted, declared not guilty, just as if we never sinned. But we must make that commitment. And when we are talking to people, when we're speaking to folks, we need to not allow them to get away with just saying, yeah, okay, I'll come to church. Yeah, okay, I believe in God. No, the Bible says that, first of all, we've sinned. And then we need to know, secondly, sin will keep us in bondage so that we'll never get where we want to be is freedom. Everyone wants to be free. I don't care who they are. Whoever you talk to, everybody has the need within them to experience freedom. And I never experienced freedom until I knew Christ. Oh, I thought I was free. I was leftover hippie, man. I declared my freedom. I got on a motorcycle, went cross country and grew my hair and wore bib overalls and nothing else. No socks. I had work boots on. Man, I was left free. Yeah, I was a free thinker. I was free. Come on, somebody. But I didn't realize that I was working to die. I was working to die. I was working to die. You know how I know that? The Scripture says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
I had to work to die. I didn't realize that my wages, my paycheck was death. Death was working in me before I even knew it. I was a walking dead man. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. I didn't realize I was dead. I was walking around as a dead man. I felt free. I acted free. I did a pretty good job of acting like I was free, but I was in bondage to sin. And when we see the world today, we need to realize the world is in bondage of sin. They're looking for something to fill the God-sized gap. They won't identify it like that. They'll go to marches. They'll express their desires. They get into darkness and sin and all kinds of things because they're trying to find. We need to realize that they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. It's harvest time. The harvest has to be brought in. This is dangerous time for the harvest. Because we don't know the day and the hour when Christ comes. But when He comes, there's no more harvest time. There's no more. It's over. When Jesus comes, when that trump sounds, it's over. Whatever's left in the field is going to stay in the field. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, none of them will receive the Lord. It doesn't mean that they can't. All they need to do is repent. There's a need in every one of the people that we meet to be free. God makes a way that He provided and fulfilled. That way is through the man Jesus Christ. You get paid to sin. The wages of sin pay off in death. Separation from God eternally. It's not so much where you'll go, it's where you won't be. It's not so much scaring people and saying you're going to go and burn in hell. All of that is very true, but we need to let them know it's not where you're going, it's where you won't be. You won't know the goodness of God. You won't know the glory of God. You won't know the great love that He has for you, that He has for you now. The harvest is ready to be brought in, but we need to bring it in. People speak very little of hell, or they make it a place where there are parties and riotous living. Nothing could be further from the truth. Hell is a place of pain and torture. It's a place apart from the presence of God. Whether you believe it or not does not make it so or not so. It's a fact. It's away from the presence of God. No love, no peace, only hatred and darkness, void of anything God. And we need to get that in our spirits. Harvest that's not brought in begins to brown. It begins to fall off. It begins to stink in the field. There's a stench about a harvest that's not brought in. Come on, somebody. I smell it. I smell it. It's time to get the combines out. It's time to get the harvesters out. It's time to get busy winning the souls. Christ said, I did not come for the well. I came for the sick. I came for those that need me. He's already got us. Oh, one day we'll stand before Him. I can't wait for that day. Grace happens then. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest anyone should boast. Grace, simply put, is getting what none of us deserve, a full pardon. We need to let people know there's a full pardon for them if they'll accept Christ. Anything they've ever done is gone, done, over. God simply washes it away and never brings it up again. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Full pardon. Amen. Once in a while, I'll think about that life I lived so many years ago. I invented wicked. That old man that died with Christ. But He took that all away with one sweep of His love. He washed it all away. And He gave me a new life. It's harvest time. It's a gift from God. To accept Christ and to receive eternal life is a free gift. We need to not put anything more than the Word of God puts on it. There are rules to get to where Christ is, but it's free. The steps are already made for us. But you have to make the steps. You cannot earn it, no matter how good or talented or like me, no matter how good looking you are. You will never be good enough. Enter Christ. He met every requirement. He was holy and righteous when He came. He was holy and righteous when He left. He's holy and righteous now. He's the harvester. He's the combo. He's the one that brings in the harvest. He works through us. He died for us so that we can live for Him. John chapter 3 verse 15 says that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved. Please listen, because John 3:16, we talk about it and everybody goes thinking about Easter eggs. Because we've heard it so many times. But listen to what it says. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave all of heaven for us. He gave His most beloved part of His life. His Son was sent. He deposited Himself in His Son and sent Him to die on the cross. Why? that whoever believes in Him should not perish, should not die, should not be separated from God, but have everlasting, eternal, all the way, no long suffering, no hurting, no pain, no crying, everlasting life. And He has it for everyone, no matter how terrible, no matter how bad they've been. Listen to what it says again. He so loved the world. We are not of the world. We're in the world, we're not of the world. The longer we stay with God, the more sometimes we get cushioned from the world. We don't realize what the world, they wake up with no hope. People that don't have Jesus go to sleep with no hope. There's just this life to think about. They don't know that there's nothing after this, separation from God. We need to let them know that God loves them. We already told them what God hates. Any good sinner above 10 years old is able to tell you what God hates. Of course, He hates drinking, He hates carousing, He hates dancing, He hates homosexuals, He hates. And they can just tell you, list. They've heard enough about what's wrong with them. They need to hear lots with what's right with God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. What? I printed this on my thing. I must be wrong. Is this right? For God did not send His Son into the world to do what? Condemn the world. Have we condemned them? Are we so happy with ourselves that we forget there's a harvest again? Are we so satisfied with where we are in Christ that we forget that? Because our lack of obedience, our lack of talking is condemnation in and of itself. The very thing heaven is after, we do the opposite. Ignoring the world is condemning the world. God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. It's harvest time. Don't get in a farmer's way when it's harvest time. Don't do it. Ask a farmer during harvest season to come eat. They'll look at you like you got two heads. I'll eat while I'm working. Thank you very much. I got to get this harvest in. It's going to feed my family. It's going to take care of me. It's the only thing they got in their heart. Only thing they got in their mind. How's your wife? I don't know. I haven't seen her in 3 weeks. I'll bring harvest in. Come on, somebody. Am I talking right?
Yeah.
They've got to hear. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear if they don't know? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, John 5:24, and believes in Him who sent me, has everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Wow. He who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life. Oh, glory to God. That's bringing in a harvest, my friend. This life that is offered you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, it's free. This life is free. He already paid everything. Yeah, there's rules to get there, but it's all been laid out for you. He's taken care of the price of sin. You just need to accept Him. There's no out-of-pocket costs. There's no hidden fees. There's no tax and shipping added to it. It's free. The free gift of God. We had to work to die. The wages of sin, We had to die. The free gift of God is eternal life. We need to remember, so much remember, that Christ weeps, intercedes, cries out, and waits for the harvest to be brought in. His eyes are on the harvest. He has us. We're here. We're part of His family. He blesses. He promised He would. That's taken care of. This morning in the pre-service, Sunrise service, we talked about the application of the resurrection power of Christ. If you're a Christian, you access that resurrection power. My wife shared that. She had no idea. We talked about it, but she had no idea. I said the same thing in the first service. Applying the resurrection power to our lives. Whatever we have need of, He takes care of. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, whatever you need, He's got. He's got it. But if you don't know Christ, all you know is theory. All you know is theory. Let me tell you, if you ask Christ in your life, you'll know what I'm speaking about. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. What a wonderful promise. Yes. Confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. No one can call Him Lord without the Holy Spirit. Right. When you call Him Lord, all of heaven opens up. And believe in your heart. Not just mouthing the words. Harvest time, but there's a way to bring in the harvest. Not just saying, okay, you came to church, you're a Christian. Here's a Bible, see you in heaven. No, there are rules. The very moment that you believe in your heart, heaven is responding with a new life for you. Confess with your mouth, what does it mean? It means to speak the name of Jesus, declaring the truth of His Lordship and all that He is. No matter what you have done up to this point, you will be forgiven and completely all your sin will be wiped away. All of it. Jesus is not a man that He should lie. He's not a liar. He promised that if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. Either that's true or He was nuts. Jesus was the biggest lunatic ever lived on the earth. He espoused something that was never true and died on the cross just because He had a selfish syndrome. He hung on the cross, died, bled out because He thought He could save the world. He had a Messiah complex. No, He wasn't a liar and He wasn't a lunatic. He was Lord. He is Lord. He died to save, seek and save that which was lost. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's time to tell others what we know to be true. This is a very simple message this morning. It's the steps to salvation. But we forget. There's very few rules when we get there. God assists us with all those rules, don'ts and do's. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that convicts us. You know what I'm talking about. You're going down the road at 90 miles an hour and the Lord says the speed limit is 55. Back off. Come on, somebody. The Lord is in us, teaches us, shows us. We walk by His grace and mercy. But until then, they need to know. They'll never make a confession if they don't hear. What happens when you believe? All sins are taken from you. You become a new creation. Wow. Only God can make somebody new. Only God. Only God. Only God. I've seen it so many times. I've seen God change people right in front of me. Right in front. It's neat when people do it little by little, but it's neat when God transforms somebody right before your eyes. They were one way, and all of a sudden they're new. You go, wait a minute, what did you do with that other person? Where'd they go? I'm born again. They just tell you, I'm born again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things. Not just some. That's the lie that the devil tells you. That's why you feel inept and ill-equipped to bring in the harvest. I'm not a farmer. I can't bring in the harvest. I'm not an evangelist. I can't bring in the harvest. That's not my ballywick. I could stir up some coffee. I'll make some eggs. I'll volunteer to teach a class, give me a book. But I'm not good at bringing in harvest. Yes, you are. Anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now that new is derived from God. We become like our Father. We get so busy with the work of church, we forget about the grace of God. We tell people that they need to be trained, and I understand and I get that. We need to be discipled. We need to learn. But as soon as God comes in you, you have the ability to be a harvester. All you need to do is speak. God's faithful. He wouldn't tell you something that's not going to work. Come on, somebody. It's like the old boy that said, you know, somebody told me if I ran a mile, I'd be in good shape. I ran a mile and came home, and what happened? Now you got to do it all the time. Run a mile every day. Start walking, then run. Come on, someone. We can do this. Folks, it's harvest time. The very purpose of revival, reviving the church, is to remind us of these things. Revival's not for the world. Revival's for the church. It's for you and me. It's to remind us it's harvest time. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, look into the harvest. Look into the fields. They are white. They are white for harvest. And that was 2,000 years ago. And each generation has its harvest time. Wonderful news for the unbeliever. God replaces their sin with His righteousness. Aren't you glad? I never felt cleaner in my life than when Jesus came into my heart. And I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit 3 days after I was saved. And man, I felt like somebody was running one of those car wash hoses down my throat, just washing me out, man. He made me righteous. Come on, turn to somebody and say, I'm righteous. Do you believe it? And there's people that need to hear it. It's harvest time. Now, I don't know if we ask people to come today. They just said no. This whole message was for the lost. And I find myself talking to them for the most part, reminding us it's harvest time. It is. It's time to tell others so they can be part of other family that we're a part of. Come on. It's quiet in here. It's harvest time. When do we stop bringing the harvest in? When we hear the trumpet. Not until. Of all the signs, of all the things heaven has signs of righteousness, heaven has signs of grace, heaven has signs of joy, heaven has signs of all the things that it tells us, heaven tells us, God tells us, there are no placards, no signs on the wall in heaven, No sign's coming to us that says fool. Of all the signs that heaven has, of all the things that God will tell us, He'll never say, okay, it's over, it's full, it's done. Whosoever will. It's an endless supply of grace for those. Say, Pastor Rick, there's 8.5 billion people on the earth. God's grace covers every one of them. And plenty left over. But He can't get the word out with just a few. He's going to use every one of us. It's harvest time. So this Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the one happening that happened 2,000 years ago. But heaven is getting ready to celebrate everyone that made a commitment to them every time they make a commitment. That's what heaven is celebrating. They have the risen Christ. He's there. They'll worship Him forever and ever and ever and ever. Nobody's talking about the resurrection of Christ in heaven. They're talking about the newborn people as a result of His resurrection. That was a one-time event. Thank God for it. Thank God for the resurrection. Hallelujah! Without the resurrection, we would be, of all men, most pitiable. There's a resurrection to look forward when my new body comes. New body come. Come on, somebody. I want that thing. Elastic, man, passes through walls. I can change my look. You know, when Terry gets upset with me, I can just change my form. Where'd Rick go? I don't know. Where are you? It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Father, we thank You for Your harvest. We thank You, Lord, that You called us for this time and this place to bring in the harvest. God, thank You for reminding us of the simplicity of Your word, that if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that You, Jesus, were risen from the dead, we'll be saved. While everybody is praying, if you're here today, there's no guarantee you'll be here tomorrow. We may never talk again. You may never hear my voice again. If everybody in here is saved, that's fine. But I want to invite you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. No better time than the present of allowing God to come into your heart. Please turn the music down. Allowing the Lord God into your heart. And the Word of God simply says, God recognizes that you're a sinner. He made provision for the sin. All you need to do is ask Him to come and live in your heart. I'd like to introduce you. I'd like the honor of introducing you to Jesus this morning. If you've not done that, if you've never received Jesus, and you say, I want to know where I'm going when I pass from this life, it's time to come to the Lord. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. Second people I want to talk to this morning is, if you have played games with God, you have been so long since you heard from the Lord, you're away from God, you're afraid if you died, you would be in trouble, and you want to get your heart right, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. See that hand? Someone else? Anyone else? You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Father, I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us, God, that we would remember the grace and mercy that got us here. Lord, the steps that we came to in believing You, You live in us. Father, I pray for those that are trying to straighten their life out to live for You. Father, would You just, as You always do with Your grace and mercy, thank You for Your forgiveness already. Lord, You readily forgive. Wash us clean. Lord, we thank You. And we rejoice today for those that are making a recommitment to You. Be Lord of their lives. Be Lord of our life, Father. We accept You as the Lord of our life. Father, I just pray that You'd go before each one of us today, reminding us in this day of celebration that there's a harvest to get. Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day.